I think it's a little tone deaf to have an actual astronaut come on screen and explain that the reason that he actually went to the moon was a secret mission to find the Autobots.
Yep.
And then have Optimus Prime be like, "The honor is mine, fellow space traveler."
The network children ask for it by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
What happens when mixtapes meet memes? This is Gen Zex. Join J.M. Bell and Braxton Bunnell as they break down the news, music, movies, trends, and moments that shape Gen X and the world Gen Z is creating right now. We're judging the worlds that raised us, from landlines to smartphones. This is Gen Zex, the culture that was versus the culture that's trending.
You are listening to the world's greatest multi-generational pop culture podcast, Gen Zex. It's me and Braxton.
It's so good to be back.
I know. It feels like it's been forever, but it really hasn't.
It really hasn't. It's only been like a week.
Yeah. But it sure feels like a long time.
It really does. Is, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Aw. Hey, buddy. I do. Hey, I don't know if you heard or not, but there was a tragedy in Dallas.
I did not.
Yeah. The Republicans are getting together for their little midterm convention, sort of a Republicans pep talk.
Did Grindr crash again?
Grindr crashed. Grindr crashed
time.
So hard.
Every time. It's so funny. Every time.
It's going to be. That is the name of a group of male Republicans is a Grindr.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which is like, it's like, I have no issue with like with LGBTQ folk.
No,
like some of my best friends are LGBTQ.
Of course.
It's but I don't think you get to do that and then also want to like see them like put into camps or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Your self-hate is dangerous.
Yes, and it's hurting people I love, and that makes you a problem.
That definitely makes you a problem. On the other hand, pretty fucking funny.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, I was just waiting for the headline. That's, I mean, how much dick search has to happen for something as big and as robust as Grindr to crash?
You know? Yeah, I think at some point Grindr should start offering like a Republican tier to the service
where you with get its own like, server.
Yeah, you get its own server. You get your own data. You don't have to worry about it crashing when you're at your little conventions.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny, and also I won't get into too much detail about it, but happy anniversary for those who celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to make fun of Spencer Cox. We're not doing the left show right now. We're doing Gen Zex. I just, for this particular holiday that my governor named, I just, you know, I hope you have a happy anniversary.
I hope it's a joyous, if you celebrate, it's a joyous day for you.
Yeah.
You know, have a drink if you drink.
If it's not, you're a racist shithead.
Mm-hmm.
There. See? Here we go, solving the world's problems. I don't know. Okay, I got a couple of comments about our show being short last week. And I have a feeling this one's going to be short also. And I just want to throw out there, I've got no time limit on the show. It can go 20 minutes. It can go 2 hours. It just, I'm keeping it as natural as we possible can. It is just a free-flowing conversation between two friends who don't get to see each other very often because one of them moved out into buttfuck nowhere.
Yeah, it's I often describe this show to people as, if nothing else, it's an excuse for me to hop on a Zoom call once a week with a friend.
Yeah.
And so that's just kind of what this show is for me, and I assume it is for you as well.
It's like, well, we've talked about it. It delights me. It's,
yeah.
You are one of the most enjoyable people that I know. And when we work together, aww, on the days that we would work together, I was always just fucking happy about it.
I felt the same way.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, good. Braxton's in today. Oh, this will be a great day. So that's how I feel. That's where we're at. And that gets us to where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's do some news of the week of December 6th, 1979. Yep, 1979. Iran standoff. Amid the ongoing hostage crisis, internal revolution in Iran intensified with political collapse and Prime Minister Sharif Imani's resignation, while President Jimmy Carter publicly hedged U.S. support for the Shah. U.S. Ambassador John C. West flew to Riyadh to assure nervous American businessmen that they... Notice they said businessmen, not business people. Businessmen that they remained safe following the regional unrest and the recent Grand Mosque seizure in Mecca. The United States House of Representatives voted down a bill aimed at making January 15th the birthday of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. a national holiday. Watched from the gallery by Coretta Scott King. Yep. That's one of the things I remember about that time is off and on there for a few years, that bill would come up and the Republicans would vote it down.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And when it finally passed, I believe in the early 90s, it was just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I remember celebrating.
Oh, wow.
And being very happy about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a huge moment. I mean, it's insane it took that long for such a prominent figure in history to become his birthday to become a holiday.
What do we got? Pop culture news. Billboard charts. On the Billboard Hot 100, the rock band Styx hit number one with their power ballad Babe. Hot on the heels was Rupert Holmes with Escape, the Piña Colada song.
Piña Colada song.
Yep. Such a fucked up song.
Oh, it is, really.
I mean, because you got to imagine that they'd be mad at each other. Wait, you're cheating? Like, you're cheating? Well, you're here. Well, you're here.
It's at the end of the song, they're like, well, isn't this funny? Like, no, brother, you're both unhappy.
Yep. Yep. The music community was still reeling from a tragedy that occurred just days earlier on December 3rd when 11 fans were killed during a crowd stampede before a concert by The Who at the Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati. I wonder what spooked them. It's a stampede. When you get an honest-to-God cow stampede, it's because something scared the cows.
Mm-hmm.
So what scared The Who cows?
Pete Townsend coming on stage.
There you go. Well, dude, I mean, that dude can play. Funny-looking fella. But not as funny looking as like Roger Waters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Laverne and Shirley was dominating the winter television block with production wrapping up on their upcoming episode, Testing, Testing. I don't know what that means. And then news spread of major upcoming TV specials scheduled for later in the month, including CBS's heavy promotion of the Crystal Gale special, which I remember watching.
I've never heard of that.
My family loved Crystal Gale. You should look her up sometime. She had really long hair.
Okay.
And then on December 6th, 1979, the world premiere of the very first Star Trek movie was held at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. It made its wide theatrical debut the following day, December 7th, a day that shall live in infamy. While it was received mixed reviews from critics, it was a massive box office hit and officially launched the decades-long cinematic franchise, Star Trek: The Motion Picture. This was one of the first movies I ever saw in the theater.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell some stories. And I'll do my best to actually try and maintain the point of the story as opposed to just chit-chatting for 45 minutes and then wondering where the fuck I started this conversation. But as a young lad, obviously, I was born in 1972, so Star Trek had already been canceled and been off the air for years. But it came back in syndication, and I could watch it in the afternoons after school. Now, because I'm Gen X, I was a latchkey kid, and my first parent got home between 5:30 and 6, and my second parent got home between 6:30 and 7:30, give or take, you know, per night. And so we had hours where we were supposed to do homework and chores, and instead we watched TV. And what I would do is down to near fisticuffs with my siblings, is I would watch, I would watch in syndication Batman 66 and Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Star Trek. And the thing was, is that me watching Star Trek was something my dad did on accident. You know, I was flipping through channels one Saturday morning and, you know, I was 7 or 8 years old, give or take. And I popped past Star Trek and my dad just walking through the room was like, "Hey, I think you would like that."
Mm-hmm.
Which started off a lifelong obsession with Trek. And much to my dad's chagrin, because my dad doesn't care for sci-fi, much like my wife. like this morning, it's Thursday morning, I went in to the bedroom, because that's where the bigger TV is, because when I watch in the office, it's up on a computer screen. And I was like, "Hey, do you mind if I watch my show?" And she's like, "Which show?" I'm like, "It's Thursday, it's Star Trek Day." And she's like, "Oh, that's great, yeah, go ahead." And so I started it. She got up, left the room. And I said, "Do you want me to pause it for you?" And she's like, what the hell for? So following through my life, okay, when we first moved down to the Pleasant Grove area when I was about 14, I didn't have any friends. We were brand new. I didn't know anybody. And there was, and I, for the life of me, don't know how I found out about it, but there was a Star Trek fan club meeting. Now, the Star Trek fan club was set up in such a way that a person would write into the fan club saying, "I want to start my own, you know, chapter." What it was, and what they would do is assign you a shuttle name. And your fan club was a shuttle. And I don't remember what the name of the shuttle was for this particular fan group. But then as your fan group got bigger, you classed up in ship size.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And your person who ran your chapter went up in rank. I mean, it's just dorky as fuck.
That's so fun, though. It's so interesting to just to see how these little like communities just pop up to essentially give a place to people who have no place.
And I had no place. On the other hand, I got a case of the shies and made my dad make my little brother come with me. My little brother, who gives not one squirt about fucking Star Trek to this day. And we went, and someone in the group had purchased because it had just barely come out, the cage, the original pilot with not Shatner, but the guy who played Pike originally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it was the original pilot on VHS. And so that was the night's activity, was to come in and watch the cage. And I was enthralled with it. And my little brother was just like, "This sucks. Can we go?" But we were too young to drive, so we had to wait for Dad to come back at the appointed hour anyway. So, you know, neither here nor there. But,
well, yeah, you got to wait for the shuttle to come back.
Yeah. Trek has been for me, since I was a little kid, just that bright, shining light in the darkness. When I when I, up until this last major bout of depression, when I would get the sads, I'd just throw on Star Trek. Didn't matter what series or movie, any Star Trek will do, because the Star Trek always made me feel better. And then this last time, a couple of years back, discovered Ted Lasso and mm-hmm. and found that its unfamiliarity at the time was very soothing to my sads. And so it would be like Ted Lasso over and over and over again, and then the occasional Star Trek movie. And then you and I worked together when we had a TV, and I had Star Trek on all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. We put on Star Trek quite a bit. I still get chastised for that TV.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, he left the TV there.
And it wasn't like we were standing there watching it. It was just on in the background.
Yeah, it was just instead of the music for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there were rules about music nobody told us about.
Mm-hmm.
Which we broke regularly because of ignorance. You know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when they went to the store playlist, I didn't hear Tom Waits anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hurtful. So, okay, we're looking at the motion picture, right? Star Wars had come out and made fuck tons of money. And Paramount's like, we got to get in on this. Let's take this TV show that we're planning on doing for Star Trek Phase 2 and just do a movie. And so okay. Alan Dean Foster kind of put together the original story and script. Harold Livingston came in and did the final script. It was directed by Robert Wise. Okay. And then you got the whole crew back. You got Shatner, Nimoy, Kelly, Doohan, Takei, Koenig, and Nichelle Nichols, who's always going to be one of my favorites. And then Mrs. Roddenberry, Majel Barrett, who had played Nurse Chapel in the beginning. Right. And then the problematic Stephen Collins, who we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Stephen Collins. Ew. And then introducing Persis Kambata, who played Ilya and was in one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen them do in a Star Trek movie. They shaved her head and had her character being of a race that gave off a particularly strong pheromone. So before they joined Starfleet, they had to give a vow of chastity. A vow of chastity.
Yeah, I was wondering, because she comes on the bridge and she sees Decker. And they smile at each other. And then Decker's like, I was stationed on her home world for a while.
Yep.
And then she turns to Kirk and goes, my vow of celibacy is on record. And then she's like, can I do my job or whatever?
Yeah.
And I was very confused because I haven't watched a ton of the original series. I grew up watching Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen original series here and there, but I haven't like actually sat down and watched all the way through it. So that confused me a little bit. And so I'm glad that we're
wasn't there.
Okay.
This is brand new for the movie.
Okay. Well, good to know.
They got, I think if I remember correctly, hang on just a sec. She was, age 16, Ms. India. She entered the Ms. Universe contest in 1965. She was a model for companies like Revlon, right? Mm-hmm. And, her biggest role was as the Delton in Star Trek, the motion picture. She passed away in 1998. She didn't do a lot of movies, but the last thing she worked on was Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, the one with Dean Cain. And I'm guessing she just went, fuck it. I'm done.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty moderately tempoed movie. They did a re-release in the theaters a few years back for the 55th. Oh, the reason that we're talking about this week instead of something else is this last week was the 60th anniversary of the first airing of Star Trek.
And yeah, we got a bunch of new one-shots in at the shop for Star Trek.
Fun. Those were more than a week late, weren't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And did you see the picture of the truck?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the truck that was hauling the comics, one title of which was a bunch of the Star Trek stuff, got in an accident, went off the road into the forest, and spilled its guts of comic books everywhere. We talked about it on the comic book shop program podcast. Oh. Comic book podcast, whatever the fuck I'm supposed to call it.
Whatever other show there is.
You know. And yeah, the comic book podcast, which you can listen to every Tuesday at thecomicbookpodcast.com. It's the world's greatest comic book podcast, you know.
Yeah, and if you like the show, hop over to the show's Patreon.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that. Yeah. So anyway, it starts out and Captain Kirk's being mean to a Vulcan. He's kind of heavy handed and he's kind of a little preachy and he's obviously something's bugging him. You know,
mm-hmm.
And we see three Klingon battle cruisers headed towards this weird special effect.
The cloud.
And they all get zapped and disappeared. You know, and then we get there and blah, yada, yada, and whatever happens. And then the Vulcan science officer, who was not Spock, dies in a transporter accident,
mm-hmm.
Right? And we see Spock on Vulcan doing the Kolinar, in which he senses the cloud, because Vulcan's not that far from us. I mean, I think that's one of the things that sometimes get lost is Vulcan's pretty close to us.
Yeah, you know? So, you know, this ominous cloud is 3 days away from Earth.
Yeah, it's about 4 days away from Vulcan.
Yeah.
In the other direction. So, you know, he, with his long-ass hippie hair, jumps in a shuttle and heads to the Enterprise. And then it gets... Okay, one thing happened. Starship porn. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We get that slow fly around the new Enterprise. And to this day, I watched this again last night. Right? Tiffany fell asleep. And I said, do you mind if I watch something? And she's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, you sure? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okie dokie. And so I put this on, even though I can talk about it from memory at this point. But the the slow fly around on the ship, just sexy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the just, Enterprise is such a beautiful bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just gorgeous. I think it's a little later when they're getting the engines powered up properly.
Yeah, they're pulling out of dry dock.
Yeah, my DoorDash order had gotten delivered, and so I went to grab it, and I'd forgotten to pause it, and I heard the engines powering up, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to miss it. So I had to hurry and like load pizza on my plate and like run back to the couch.
Because it's a gorgeous model. Mm-hmm. It was shot well, you know. And then, you know, we get the really bad special effect of the wormhole. Fire phasers. Belay that phaser order. Photon torpedoes.
I'm just giggling that entire time.
Yep.
Because it's all slowed down and they got the like the streaks coming off all of them so you can, it's the visual representation of time dilating.
Yep. Yep.
And like really cool for the time.
Oh, at the time it blew my fucking mind. Now, keep in mind, anything that you watch now is probably the director's cut.
Yes, that is what I watched. And I had some questions I wanted to talk to you, ask you about after.
Okay,
we can totally do that. Talk about the plot.
Then we get to a whole bunch of weird visuals, right? Mm-hmm. And the ever-changing faces of the crew looking out the window for like 20 fucking minutes. Now, when we went and saw the re-release, and I took Tiffany to it, this is where she started laughing. And she's the only one in the theater laughing. And I don't know what the fuck she's laughing about, but then they pan back to Kay, to Sulu.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the same face he's just made in the previous three. Whether he was making the same face over and over, if they just reused the footage, I still don't know. But I started to giggle because I knew exactly what she was laughing at. And that's the fact that this was a boring movie that if you don't love the IP, you're going to have a hard time. It wasn't as boring as like 2001 A Space Odyssey, you know, at the time and at that age. That movie's a fucking drag.
Yeah, but like I also get it. Like you kind of have to have a bit of like at least a little bit of like prerequisite love for at least like hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
Let alone Trek, because like if you don't at least like science-centered sci-fi, you're not going to like Trek.
Well, if you're coming to this because you thought, well, Star Wars was good, Star Trek ought to be good, you're getting a whole different thing.
Oh, yeah.
A far more, even though it was silly, a far more cerebral storytelling process.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, I don't know. It's they go in, they do the thing, they find Voyager 6, you know, and the problematic former captain gets translated, I guess, gets hit in the rapture.
Yeah, he like merges with Voyager because it's like to touch the creator.
Yep. Yep. Which is how he got in trouble. Because that's the thing. Stephen Collins and was in couples therapy and admitted to being inappropriate with underage girls, with with children. Basically.
Three teenage girls
in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, including exposing himself and forcing a touch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The tape from the therapist got leaked to TMZ. Right? Mm-hmm. And we find out, well, after the fact, that he was a chicken fucker and gross. And he was playing a pastor, a Christian pastor, on another TV show.
Is that Seventh Heaven?
Seventh Heaven. That had, what's her name? Jessica Biel in it.
Mm.
If I recall correctly. And that's where she launched. And he got fired from that. He got fired from TED 2. He got fired from all his other TV appearances he was planning to do. He resigned his position on the national board of SAG-AFTRA, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been blacklisted. Have you ever seen a rerun of Seventh Heaven?
I don't think I've ever seen Seventh Heaven outside of seeing his face and hearing the name.
Yep. But because I want to leave you with good things, right? Star Trek has profoundly influenced modern technology. The cell phone. Absolutely. The cell phone. Martin Cooper, who invented the flip phone, and Motorola engineers were thinking of the Star Trek communicator when they did the first handheld cellular devices and later the flip phones.
Mm-hmm.
Tablets and pads. Personal access data device used by Starfleet officers anticipated the flat screen portable tablet computers like the iPad. Or the Galaxy Pad I'm using in the other room is a book. A book, you say? Yes, a book. I don't know if you know this or not, but Amazon is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as the devil, if you spend money with the devil, you go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if there were only an alternative like bookshop.org, where you can go to bookshop.org/shop/defendmedia, you buy it at the same price as Amazon, if not lower, and a very tiny portion gets kicked back to us over here at the thing. Now you can go to bookshop.org/shop/defendmedia, or just pop over to theleftshow.com and click on the bookshop picture there in the right menu. And anything you buy on that shop, if you come through that link, we get like 5%.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Everybody, every show has its own reading list. Everybody on a show has their own reading list. Braxton, Taylor, Tiffany, Jocelyn, JC, and myself. We all have our own personal reading lists. Mine is a little bigger than everybody else's because I asked them to send me their top five books, and they did. Whereas I kept having to build the system, and I kept seeing books I liked. I was like, ooh, that goes on my list. Ooh, that goes on my list.
Yeah, because I sent mine in, and I went and looked at the site, and I saw how long your list was, and I was like, oh, maybe I didn't send enough.
I mean, you can send as many as you want.
Okay, cool, because I got more I'll put on there.
Yeah.
I got more books I think people should read.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's outstanding. Well, look, let's let me wrap up with I love Star Trek. You know, it is a lifelong obsession. I will pick Trek over Wars any day of the week, no matter how much I really am enjoying new Star Wars. You know? You know what? I got a thing. I'll bring it up when we come back.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question about the director's cut real quick.
Okay, sock it to me.
So I guess the question is, like, how does this compare to the version that you saw?
So much better.
Saw it? It's so much better.
So much better. It was like an industry scandal with the special effects in the theatrical cut.
Okay.
Yeah, if I've got the story right, and JC will let me know if I fucked it up, they had hired a company that had done special effects on TV commercials, and they didn't have the bandwidth.
Oh, okay.
Or the know-how to do it on that scale. And so all of the effects were just basically garbage. And then in the director's cut, they polished the turd.
Okay.
You know, things are in focus that were out of focus before, you know, all the fractal stuff is cleaner and easier to look at and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, there were some significant changes. So it is an easier to watch movie now.
Okay. Than it was then. Okay, cool.
And the 4K release is chef's kiss.
Okay. Yeah, because that was the one. I just watched whatever one was on Paramount, and I think it was the director's cut.
It was the director's cut, yeah. Okay. Well, sweet. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's.
When we get back on the other side, Braxton.
It's my turn.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left shows J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Comics! Did you watch Ahsoka season one?
No, I didn't. I had everybody that watched it telling me that I needed to watch it because I am an out and proud Clone Wars lover.
Yeah.
That is my Star Wars series. But no, I never ended up watching it. I haven't watched a lot of new Star Wars stuff since I watched the first couple episodes of Mandalorian.
Did you watch Andor?
I did not watch Andor.
Oh,
I watched Kenobi.
Oh, Kenobi was fucking great.
Kenobi was great.
Andor was better.
Okay. I've heard Andor was good. I like the idea that it's more of a political thriller.
Well, you know how when Marvel was putting out all the movies and they were all just kind of lighthearted and fun, no matter how serious they were, except for the Captain America ones like Winter Soldier and Civil War that were, you know, darker and more serious and more like a political thriller.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Andor is to the rest of the catalog.
Oh, cool.
It takes the rising of the rebellion very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get all of his backstory from Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, Ahsoka was, I mean, it's Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
Which she's fucking great. And it's the cast is amazing. I have never watched the Clone Wars cartoons. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's fine. Still, it's a long series, but it's worth it.
Yeah. It's the spreadsheet somebody put out in the proper watching order.
Oh, yeah. That's if you're going to watch it. You can watch Clone Wars and not have seen any other Star Wars.
Okay.
And still enjoy it. Like, the only thing I'd recommend is there is a point, I think one of the movies falls in the middle of the series, and it is worth it because it does connect directly to the next season.
Okay. Okay.
But beyond that, you can just watch Clone Wars and it's just a Star Wars story.
Well, and I a few months back when Tiffany first got sick and she was just unconscious most of the time, I started burning through all of the new weird stuff on Disney Plus about, you know, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't remember the names. They're like Jedi Tales, Sith Tales,
mm-hmm.
like that. And they were all animated. And but no, Ahsoka was just really quite good. And everybody in it was really quite good. And it got into characters that I didn't know and that I gave a shit about pretty quick, including the blue guy.
Thrawn.
And yeah, the blue guy, apparently. Anyway, the new trailer dropped for season two yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks amazing. It's even got Annie in it.
Okay, I haven't.
Oh boy, Annie. Me so okay. Happy to see the Annie.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I'm so sorry.
No, I was just gonna say I haven't seen the. I didn't see that there was a new trailer. I'm kind of disconnected on all Star Wars stuff. Like I haven't even read any of the comics. I usually like the comics.
Yeah. Well. You know, as one of the biggest Trek nerds you know, you're really missing out on this new Star Wars stuff.
Okay. Yeah. That's big coming from you.
Yeah. And I went and saw Mandalorian and Grogu in the theater opening weekend because I'm like, you know what? Jon Favreau needs to know that my $13 fucking dollars that it cost me to go belongs to him because he keeps putting out shit that I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
he's got a section of framed dollars just for you.
He better. He better. I was collecting change around the house for that visit to the movie theater. But yeah, I took I went with Kyla, who has absolutely no idea of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
None. I sat the kids down when they were young to watch A New Hope. We made it 10 minutes before they left the fucking room.
That seems to be a theme with you turning on sci-fi for people.
Yeah.
And then just getting up and leaving.
How do I love these weirdos so much. You know, when they don't like good stuff.
We all have flaws.
Yeah. But you know what? I apologize. I did not mean to talk about good stuff before you started on your choice for the week. I might give false hope to the listener.
Yeah, I don't know why we shouldn't set the expectation that what we're talking about is good in, like, you know, like a script sense or like a like a filmmaking sense.
However, and my point still stands, cinematography, top fucking shelf.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But let's get into it. So I want to take us back to the week of June 28th, 2011. Thousands of workers in Greece launched a 48-hour general strike, leading to violent clashes in Athens as the government debated widespread privatization of its to manage its financial crisis, which I guess didn't really work because they went bankrupt. So, Christine Lagarde was selected to lead the International Monetary Fund (IMF) at a critical juncture in the global economy.
Good for her.
A massive wildfire approached the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico, forcing evacuations and keeping the nuclear facility closed. I think that has to be like the worst case scenario.
Sounds like just
a fire heading for a nuclear plant. Heading over to the music scene, sitting at number one for 23 weeks, we have Rolling in the Deep by Adele. Which I know you love Adele, and
I fucking love Adele. That your lady can fucking sing, man.
Your love for Adele has instilled an appreciation for Adele in me, because I'm still not a huge fan of a lot of her stuff.
Yeah,
but you know, I'll listen to Skyfall.
Oh, to God, yes.
Oh yeah.
I that's honestly, and Rolling in the Deep is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Fire in the Rain's pretty good.
Yeah.
But Skyfall is a masterpiece.
Oh, yes. I get goosebumps every time still.
Yeah. She could sing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, pray continue.
Sitting at number two, we have Give Me Everything by Pitbull featuring Neo, Afrojack, and Nair. And number three, Party Rock Anthem, which seems to come up a lot because I keep picking movies from the early 2010s.
Uh-huh. That is true. That is true. I keep hearing about Pitbull. And he was popular for like 15 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. He still comes up. I still walk around my apartment. Every time I see Mufasa, because he is a pit bull, I call him Mr. Worldwide and Mr. 305. because he's a dog, he never reacts, but I laugh.
Yeah. Which reminds me, by the way, Tiffany is upset that she has not seen a picture of her nephew, Mufasa. So you're gonna have to send me a picture of your dog.
I'll send you a picture I took the other day that I managed to capture him approximately 3 seconds before he used his head as a battering ram against my stomach. So I'll send you that one.
All right. Okay, Pitbull.
Pitbull. Let's see. Sitting at number four, we had E.T. by Katy Perry and Kanye West and The Lazy Song at number five by Bruno Mars. Stepping over to the box office, sitting at number one, we had X-Men First Class.
I mean, it was one of the better ones.
It was one of the better ones.
Yeah.
The Hangover Part 2 sitting at second. Super 8 sitting at third, which we will talk about sometime.
Oh, that's a great fucking movie.
I love that movie. And then right down there near the bottom, sitting grossing $68 million.
That was it?
That was it.
No wonder.
It was Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon. This movie is bad.
So bad.
It's not good.
However, so bad.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, as you were saying, directed by Michael Bay. So the cinematography is amazing.
Yeah.
Every single sweeping shot of the Autobots in their car form is just the most brilliant filming of a vehicle you've ever seen.
It is great.
It's just Michael Bay, if he knows nothing else, it's how to direct when there's vehicles.
Oh, God, yes.
And like, I think we talked about this when we talked about 08, but like the reason that Optimus had flames and he wasn't just red and he was kind of blue is because red doesn't like show up well on camera. It's right. Really hard to get right.
Yeah.
So he used the blue to kind of break it up. But I think the biggest thing, if you're watching these movies in sequential order, the biggest thing that you'll notice is Megan Fox is gone.
Yay!
She's not in this movie. And as bad as her acting was in the first two, I get that they had a story set up and in place. And they were doing like a 3-movie arc, and this movie was supposed to be the one where Sam finally admits that he's ready for a relationship and he gets with Michaela and the Autobots are safe and happy and Earth is their new home and all that. But in between 2 and 3, Megan Fox had a falling out with Michael Bay, and I believe that she referred to him as Hitler to a
oh my
to a journalist. So she was not in the third movie.
No. That was instead, Rosie Huntington Whiteley.
Yes, playing Carly.
Yes.
But my biggest problem with this movie is Carly. Because this movie was set up for Michaela, and to a point where the script was written before they recast.
Yeah.
So Carly is like, she is reading lines that Michaela would have said. Yeah. And so it makes the entire relationship between Sam and Carly just feel unearned.
Can I tell you something?
Hmm.
Shia LaBeouf, man.
Oh, yeah.
Unearned.
Yeah.
No. No, not that kid. Anyway, go ahead.
But this movie also does something that I haven't really seen before, because the first movie and the second movie to a certain degree towards the end was largely about the military industrial complex.
Yeah.
And glorifying the U.S. military and how cool it is to go be an army soldier and blow up shit in the desert.
Yes.
This one really harps on the space industrial complex.
Yes.
For a long time. And it's a very apparent that Michael Bay is a very big fan of the Apollo missions and the Apollo landings, which is awesome. I mean, they were a huge moment in history. But I think it's a little tone deaf to have an actual astronaut come on screen and explain that the reason that he actually went to the moon was a secret mission to find the Autobots.
Yep.
And then have Optimus Prime be like, "The honor is mine, fellow space traveler." I have
that
to
was
wonder.
Not the, that was not the worst line. The worst line is toward the end. But, I mean, please continue.
Yeah. but I have to know, like, I need to find out how big that check was that they wrote Buzz to get him to come out and say, "Yeah, I actually went to the moon to meet a to find robots." But like
Buzz as we get Aldrin once punched a dude in the mouth for saying that the moon landing was fake.
Mm-hmm.
Punched him in the mouth. He was in his 80s and knocked this kid flat.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael fucking Bay somehow talked him into saying exactly what he punched that dude in the mouth about.
Mm-hmm.
That does. I don't know, it's, man. That's big populism. That's overwhelming personality. That's mm-hmm. I don't know, a little like Hitler.
Yeah, I believe her exact quote was like, he likes to be like Hitler on his movie sets, so he does. But the main plot of this movie,
yeah,
is again retconning how early the Transformers have been here, because in the first one, we're led to believe that when the Autobots crash land on Earth, that's the first time they've been here.
Yeah.
But actually, they've been here since the pyramids. But actually, the first time we knew about them was when they crashed on the moon. But then in the fourth one, actually, they've been here since dinosaur times.
Yep.
And so every movie is just another retcon because they can't figure out what they want to do with this.
What they want to do is give Josh Duhamel work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently Shia LaBeouf, for reasons I just cannot wrap my fucking head around. Look, rather watch Marky Mark talk to Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I would love, it's at least like when I'm watching Age of Extinction or The Last Knight.
Yeah.
I'm watching Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch run around the United States with Autobots saying silly dialogue, and it's just the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But when I watch Shia LaBeouf in Revenge of the Fallen, I'm just bored.
Yeah.
I'm just like, every time I turn that movie on to watch it, I regret turning it on about halfway through.
I do not like Shia LaBeouf.
But this movie has a very interesting place in my mind, because I don't remember loving this movie a lot of my life, but I remember liking it because I liked Transformers.
Yeah.
And I remember every Friday, my dad would take me and my siblings over to visit my grandma. And we would go down in her basement, and she would come down and sit with us, and she had bought us movies, and one of the movies was Dark of the Moon.
Mm.
And because I was the oldest, I usually got to pick what we watched first, and it was usually Dark of the Moon. So I watched Dark of the Moon a lot. Which means when I say that this story is stupid and dumb,
yes,
and doesn't make sense, I mean it. And I say that from a place of love.
Okay, let me defend your love of this movie.
Okay.
John Turturro.
Okay. Bright shining star.
Yeah.
In Patrick, this whole franchise.
Patrick fucking Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Playing a very interesting turn. I'll get back to that. Frances McDormand. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to switch these two in my head to who's most important to me to save for last. But John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah.
Is fucking nuts in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, he's so good.
Yeah. And then Alan Tudyk as Dutch, who turns out to be a badass.
Mm-hmm.
I love that turn for him. That's the old me. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I fucking loved that. That cracked me up. And all of them, look, even Shia LaBeouf was watchable in this. In that weird, wacky way he was before we learned what a piece of shit he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Turturro is over the top in it. Frances McDormand was way over the fucking top in it. Malkovich was a lunatic in it. The only one who took his part seriously was Josh Duhamel.
This is a movie that is stocked with just massive talent.
Yep. Yep.
For a film like this. And they are all just chained to the wall by the script. And so I have a feeling that a lot of them, like John Malkovich and John Turturro, read this script and thought, well, this is stupid, so I'm not going to take this seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, good for them. I mean, like, Ken Jeong playing Jerry Wang.
Jesus. I mean... That dude already eats scenery, and in this, I'm just like, what the fuck are these choices you're making?
Yeah. Well, it's nuts. Like, it's funny because my main association with Ken Jeong is from Community.
Yes. Yes.
And he's basically just playing Chang from Community in mm-hmm. this movie. Like, it's basically the same character, which was very fun to see because, I mean, I love him in Community.
When the fuck are we getting our movie?
I believe they just wrapped filming or began filming. One of the two.
I'm going to look it up. We'll talk about that on Patreon.
But the main plot of this movie is, as the war in Cybertron is happening, the Ark, which you may be familiar with from the original 86 series of the movie.
Yes.
Tries to leave Cybertron, gets shot down by the Decepticons, crash lands on the moon. NASA detects it in, I think it's like 1967.
Yep.
Yes, because then that's the reason they start the Apollo mission, is because the Russians also detected it, and they've been sending unmanned probes.
Yep.
And so they want to get there first. And so they start they do the moon landing. They go to the dark side of the moon. They find the Ark. They find all the dead Autobots. And then you get the panning shot of Sentinel Prime, who is the leader of the Autobots before Optimus.
Right.
And played by Leonard Nimoy.
And it's like two words are out of his mouth. I was like, Nimoy?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to look up the year, because I'm just like, it's either Nimoy or somebody who sounds incredibly like him, because I couldn't remember when he died.
Well, I feel like they also just kind of made his face Nimoy too.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the more you stare at it, the more it is just Leonard Nimoy bot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not Spock Sentinel bot. Prime.
Yep.
Yeah, Spock bot.
Spock bot. You know.
But,
And I loved the hole in the head Megatron.
Can he's out there.
Transform into a fucking drifter truck.
Yeah. Yeah, he's out there feeding his little tiny Decepticons and yelling at Starscream.
Yeah. It's like, he needs a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, okay. So yeah, Nimoy. So at the end. At the end of the movie, at the big fight climax, fucking Spockbot says he just doesn't understand that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And I'm like, dude, that's the opposite of what that's supposed to mean. What mm-hmm. was the check like? Jesus Christ. It blew my fucking mind.
This movie begins what I describe as Optimus's war criminal arc.
Yeah. Kill them all.
Yeah. So the Autobots, now that they have their place on home, are now helping with human affairs. So they're helping with like Iraq and Iran.
Yeah.
They're like over there in the Middle East. And then they find out that there's been Energon readings at Chernobyl. They go there. They find the arc reactor. You see Soundwave and his big worm, which I don't like Soundwave's design in this.
No.
I don't like that he looks... I don't like a lot of the Decepticon designs. I feel like they'd look too... They did a thing with these movies where they made all the Decepticons look really animalistic.
Yeah.
And all of the Autobots look way too human.
Yep.
But so you see Soundwave, and then they go back. Optimus takes the power cell back to the base, and he's being all pouty. And he's is talking to the director, and he says, "We were told that all of our you knew, or we were told everything that you knew about Autobots. Why is this here? This is from." Our ship, the Ark. They go there, they find Sentinel Prime, bring him back. Optimus uses the Matrix of Leadership to revive him. And then it turns out that Sentinel Prime actually cut a deal with Megatron.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he's been secretly working with him to bring Cybertron to Earth so that the war can end.
For some reason.
Yeah, for some reason.
So that they can strip mine our planet.
Mm-hmm. And so they kick all the Autobots off Earth, and then you see the shuttle go up, and then the shuttle explodes, and then it's later revealed that actually they knew that was going to happen, and so they actually didn't get on the ship. These massive robots just hid somewhere.
Yep. But he said it real cool.
Oh, he said it very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Optimus Prime. He's getting, everything he says is cool.
Yep.
Even when he executes a surrendering soldier.
Yep. Yep.
And kills Sentinel Prime. And then Megatron shows up and has his little thing of, like, you're nothing without me, Prime. And then Prime says, time to find out. And then they fight, and then he kills Megatron.
Hatchet through the head.
Yeah, rips his head off, and then executes Sentinel Prime. This movie is not good. It's very bad. None of it makes sense. There are a lot of choices that they made because I think they wanted this to be a even grittier and darker story.
Mm-hmm.
Than the previous ones were. And I guess they achieved that at the expense of character assassination on Optimus Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Which just continued to get worse through the movies.
Yeah, I will grant you that. And yet, because I watched this piece of shit, I'm probably going to end up watching the Marky Mark one, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, at least in that one, you get to see TJ Miller get like vaporized.
Oh, good. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets turned into metal, transformium, I think they call it.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's essentially Dark of the Moon.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be the ending of this arc and this franchise, or this cinematic franchise, and then we're going to move on to something else. And then they kind of did, but not really, because, you know, they got Marky Mark instead of Sam Witwicky.
Yeah.
Instead of Shia LaBeouf. But it's, at the end of the day, this movie is nothing else but fun. Like, if you want the true movie experience for this, go to Paramount, turn on the movie. Every time you see Shia LaBeouf on screen and there's not an Autobot, skip it.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. It's not important. That's what I wanted a refresher last night. That's exactly what I did. I skipped everything that didn't have an Autobot or a Transformer in the scene, and it was a better movie.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, when you remove half of the content from this film, it's good.
There's your continuity. Josh Duhamel was in the Marky Mark ones, too.
Yeah, because...
He got a promotion to Colonel.
Yeah, because, like, Nest is still, like, all throughout them.
Yeah.
And then that's what ties, like, Nest to... end of Rise of the Beasts at the end credits, where they do the flip and they see that it's a G.I. Joe business card.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I believe in that continuity, G.I. Joe and Nest kind of work together. But I don't know, because we're never getting that movie. It's not happening.
Yeah, well. I mean, is it a big loss to humanity in general?
Not really, but I mean,
hey, if we're getting more Jurassic Park movies,
yeah,
we should get more Transformers.
There's a chance we could get more Transformers, but my fear is Transformers 1 severely underperformed at the box office. It was a flop, despite it being one of the best Transformer or pieces of Transformer media in recent years.
Yeah, I went and saw it. It was, I liked it. I was happy when I left the theater.
And my fear is that Paramount is learning the wrong lessons.
Yeah.
And it's not that people don't want Transformers. It's that you actually have to, like, do a Transformers story that Transformers people want to see.
Yeah.
Like, an origin story is cool. We got an origin story in the comics. We already know about Orion Pax and D16.
Yeah.
So I hope for more Transformers because I am a Transformers fan. I have a Transformers tattoo, for Christ's sake. Like, I have to be.
It's, you saw they're going to put that last performance of Peter Cullen short at the end of the 40th anniversary run in October.
I did. I very much need to go see the apology tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my schedule for October.
Okay. That's good.
But yeah, I think that's all I got for Dark of the Moon.
All right.
It's a bad movie that I love.
Look, my biggest complaint with it was that it was so much longer than it needed to be.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that did not need to be a 3-hour movie.
I think it's 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.5 hours. It could have been like 1:45.
Yeah, easy.
And it would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been much better. It would have been much better. Well, let's take the conversation over to Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. That's where we record special content. Every week that we record this content. I've lost my script in my head because it feels like it's been 2 weeks since we've done this. But yeah, every week that we record, we do special content. There's the script. Over on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. D-E-F-E-N Media. Until next time, I'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Did you like the show? Join JM and Braxton on Patreon. Patreon.com/DefendMedia. Each week they record, they upload additional content exclusively for the Patreon family. Patreon.com/DefendMedia.